This is AgriPulse Daybreak for Wednesday, July 30th, brought to you by Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative. Good morning, I'm Jeff Nally. Here's today's headlines. Trump mulls continuing China truce. Tariffs give cover for price hikes, report says. And climate finding moves towards scrap heap. Senators ready for USDA reorganization hearing. The Senate Agriculture Committee is hearing from USDA today on its plans to reorganize the agency, which notably involves moving employees based in the National Capital Region to five regional hubs. Deputy Agriculture Secretary Stephen Vaden, he'll be facing questions from senators who were caught off guard by the reorganization announcement. Members of the committee largely said they want to make sure the plan will serve farmers and understand its specifics. I'm supportive of the idea of more opportunities for people to work for the federal government outside of Washington, D.C., but I'm interested in the details and facts, the analysis that demonstrates what the Department of Agriculture is doing makes sense. That the word of Senator Jerry Moran of Kansas speaking yesterday. Senator Adam Schiff of California said he's concerned about the loss of expertise that could come from within the plan. He added that none of the planned regional hubs are close to his state. I want to make sure this doesn't serve as an impediment to accessing resources by California farmers, Schiff said. Trump to weigh China truce extension. The top U.S. trade officials will brief President Donald Trump today on their discussions with Chinese officials earlier this week. The president will then decide whether to extend the tariff detente. We're going to talk to the president about whether that's something he wants to do, U.S. Trade Representative Jameson Greer said yesterday. Greer and Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent were briefing reporters following 2 days of talks with Chinese officials in Stockholm, Sweden. Take note, earlier in the day, Chinese negotiator Li Chenggang told reporters that the two sides had agreed to work to extend the pause on higher tariffs past the August 12th deadline. Nothing is agreed until we speak with President Trump, Bessent said. He also added, however, that the meetings were, quote, very productive. You can check out this week's AgriPulse newsletter for Oliver Ward's deep dive into what we know and don't know about Trump's trade deals when it comes to agriculture. We also report on prospects for ag labor reform in Congress. Companies are using tariffs as cover to hike prices, a new report finds. U.S. firms are raising prices to protect profits regardless of whether tariffs are affecting their business or if the president follows through on his largest tariff threats, a new report argues. Progressive think tank Groundwork Collaborative examined earnings calls from the first half of 2025, found evidence that companies are using tariff uncertainty as cover for price increases. Lindsay Owens, Groundwork Collaborative's executive director, told reporters companies are working to exploit the chaos of tariff announcements. The mere announcement of the tariffs is enough for them to move forward with their price hikes, regardless of where the final level ends up, she said. Now take note, the report cites one example from the agriculture sector in which the CEO of Vital Farms told investors that announced price increases would be, quote, more than sufficient to cover the impact of tariffs. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak after this. Daybreak is sponsored by Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative, the third largest dairy co-op in the country. Edge is a powerful advocate in Washington for farmers throughout the upper Midwest. Dairy has reached a crossroads. The time for change is now. As more milk is moving outside the federal milk marketing order system, we need to ensure basic protections remain in place for the farmer, such as timely payments and third-party verification. Ed says it's time to provide these protections to all dairy farmers. Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak. EPA plans to scrap greenhouse gas funding. The Energy Department says the government has wasted too much time fighting climate change. The DOE report finds that carbon dioxide-induced warming, quote, appears to be less damaging economically than commonly believed, and that aggressive mitigation strategies may be misdirected, according to a department release. Additionally, the report finds that U.S. policy actions are expected to have undetectably small direct impacts on global climate, and any effects will emerge only with long delays. DOE issued the report in conjunction with an EPA proposal to rescind its 2009 finding that climate pollution endangers human health. The proposal would roll back tailpipe emission rules that sought to reduce pollution from trucks and automobiles, mostly through the production of more electric vehicles. Environmental groups and lawmakers concerned about climate change criticizing EPA's announcement. This action marks an extraordinary and dangerous abdication of EPA's statutory duty to protect human health and the environment, says the Environmental Protection Network, a group of former EPA officials. Senate drops hemp loophole language in funding bill. Senate appropriators have dropped language from the agriculture FDA spending bill that would have closed a hemp loophole for some intoxicating products like Delta 8 THC. The move follows a dispute between Kentucky's two senators. Senator Mitch McConnell added that the loophole fix to the spending bill during the Appropriation Committee debate. The loophole stems from a 2018 farm bill that legalized hemp production to support industrial hemp, but only specified a limit of Delta 9 THC. The fix McConnell secured in the appropriations bill would have reduced the legal limit for THC in hemp products. But the other Kentucky Republican, Rand Paul, took issue with the language and vowed to oppose the appropriation bill if it contained that provision. Therefore, Senator John Hovind of North Dakota, who chairs the Senate Ag Appropriations Subcommittee, said the two lawmakers shared the same goals but ultimately would not come to an agreement on the language and agreed to remove it. Hovind said Republicans don't want to hold up a package of spending bills Senate leadership hopes to advance before the August recess. Senate Agriculture Committee Chair John Bozeman of Arkansas said he supports the effort to address the loophole potentially in a new farm bill, and I think there'll be a lot of support from the committee, Bozeman said. Grain industry reps seek more inspection waiver flexibility. A grain industry representative yesterday asked senators to allow the USDA to waive inspections and weighing requirements for export grain during natural disasters or disruptions. Nicholas Fryatt, who chairs the National Grain and Feed Association's Grain Grades and Weights Committee, wants language in the upcoming Grain Standards Reauthorization Act to allow the Federal Grain Inspection Service to issue waivers during natural disasters or other force majeure events. Both buyers and sellers would have to agree to the waivers. Establishing a transparent and predictable contingency plan for future disruptions would provide exporters, importers, and customers with confidence that the flow of U.S. grain can continue during unexpected challenges without compromising the overall integrity of the system, Fryant said. Here's today's final word. There has been abundant evidence going back decades that rising CO2 levels benefit plants, including agricultural crops, and that CO2-induced warming will be a net benefit for U.S. agriculture. The increase in ambient carbon dioxide has also boosted productivity of all major U.S. crop types. There is reason to conclude that, on balance, climate change has been and will continue to be neutral or beneficial for most U.S. agriculture. That a finding with the U.S. Energy Report. Well, that's Daybreak for this Wednesday, July 30th, brought to you by Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak, I'm Jeff Nally.